Hi, friends. My name is Mike Foster, and this is Fun Therapy, a podcast about our imperfectness, our flaws, but also our glory and goodness, too. No formulated talking points here, no simple success stories, just the not-so-perfect parts of life on display. We want to break the shame around here. We want to break the secrets. We want to challenge our picture of how life is supposed to work. This is a place where we seek to reclaim the joy and goodness of our lives. And though I can't see you and I may not know your name, I like you just the way you are. You are accepted and loved and wonderful. I know you are full of dreams and struggles, and that some things might hurt right now, and that's okay, because in this place, only the broken belong. My name is Mike Foster, and this is Fun Therapy. I am so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're listening, and I want to ask you a question, just between you and me. Have you subscribed to this podcast yet? It's okay if you haven't, but I want to say, when you hit that subscribe button, that really says, I'm in. I'm a part of this family. I like what's happening here. And so if you could do me a favor, make sure to subscribe. That way you don't miss anything. That way that you hear all the goodness that my guests are sharing, not only now, but in the weeks to come. And so hit that little subscribe button. Say, I'm in, Mike. I'm raising my hand. Also take a moment and leave a short review or rate the podcast. That always helps. Also want to tell you about my workshop. It's 2 days that I get to spend with people like you. And it's called Rescue Academy. You can learn more about it at rescueacademy.com. And we have a workshop that's coming up. So if you want to spend 2 days with you and me and a small group of others, connecting to our own hearts and our own hurts so we can empathize and help heal others' hurts, rescueacademy.com. We have dinner together on the first night. Come over to my house, sit around the fire and have some adult beverages. I have added a marriage counseling session to the workshop where I teach you how to do good marriage counseling with others. And that really the whole workshop is just about helping others and knowing that we have a role in a place, but we got to do it in a healthy way, in a non-codependent way. And so keep it interactive and fun, and you'll leave with a bucket full of confidence and practical tools to counsel others. RescueAcademy.com. Joining me for a Fun Therapy session is my friend, Erin Eddy from So Worth Loving. She's a passionate creative leading a movement to help others live with vulnerability. She also has, as you will find, an infectious laugh and just this joy that oozes out of her. And in this session, we process the pain from the biggest heartbreak of her life and how she struggled with the shame in the midst of her marriage ending last year, and how her friendships and even her beliefs about God and herself were put through the fire. And now this session of Fun Therapy with my friend, Erin.
I think when you go through a really hard time, you think when you're in it, you're like, I'm never going to get out. This is my forever. And I felt that way for probably a good 6-7 months. Of just heartbreak and pain, and balancing that with maintaining work, and the world still goes on. And I just felt all the pressures of every corner, business and personal. This last year, I went through a divorce, and that's the hardest thing that I've ever experienced. The hardest and biggest heartbreak of my life. I can say this and still, make sure I respect everybody involved. And so I feel like I can share how I feel in the process of healing from that and my friend group and my lack of friend group. And because I think that we all experience that. And I don't think when I went through all of this, I thought I was kind of crazy because I've seen relationships dissolve, but I never heard any of the pain of what happened emotionally with people. And so I felt like I was going a little crazy.
So what were some of the things that you were feeling in that season?
So much shame and guilt, and then a lot of blame, making excuses. Mainly shame, though. Shame really kept me in the space of not moving forward and not getting out for 6 months.
What was it telling you? What was shame saying to you in those days?
I think a lot of it had to do with the attaching shame to my faith. Because I grew up believing that you never get a divorce. And so here I am disrupting this whole thought and belief, and now I'm confused about everything. And then I have people speaking over me what they think is true that I don't believe. And so you just feel completely dismantled. And then you feel, ashamed that you don't believe what this person seems so confident in, but it's really a projection. But
what were they saying to you?
I've been told a woman of God would stay in this, or like those types of comments that were made to me. And instead of just being empathetic and asking me questions and wanting to know more about the last few years, instead making it very black and white. I think people, when they feel uncomfortable with all of the gray, they want to make it very black and white for them to understand what's going on. And I felt like that's what I saw. But I didn't. I think in the process, I was so just so distraught and just broken that I would just absorb everything that everyone was saying. And I had to move. So I moved away. I lived in the city for about 6 years. And every road was memory lane. We were both public figures in the community. And, a lot of people, some of them saw it coming and some people didn't. And so it was dismantling, not just for me, but for a community of people around us. And I think that just goes to show, like, you really do never know what's happening under one roof of any, or even inside somebody. And there was a lot that was happening. And so I had to move away. I moved up to 16 acres of land and barn cats and the country and get back to my roots and get some fresh air and not have so much noise around me. I had a lot of noise.
So one of the things you mentioned was the word confused, and just felt confused about probably a lot of different things. Yeah. What was sort of the main confusion that you felt in that season about you, your life, God? What was the thing that was most confusing?
It's a great question. I think I had a lot of peace about my decision, but nobody else did. And that made me feel really confused because I'm thinking, I have so much peace though, but everybody else wants to speak in and chime in, and I feel like this is healthy and right for me. And that was very confusing.
So you felt sort of alone in your decision?
Yes. I felt very alone. It wasn't actually until I went out to California, it was in July, and I went for a speaking engagement. And I was struggling with this whole, I'm going through this personally, but my business is still moving forward. And I still have this passion for speaking. And do I just stop completely because of my personal circumstances? And so then you struggle with, like, it's not imposter syndrome, but you just feel like, you're just like, should I even be here? Am I qualified? And I guess it was just, I didn't feel qualified. And I was, but it was the most amazing trip that I could have gone on because I was surrounded by these incredible women, and they loved on me and spoke scripture over me and just prayed with me and were present with me. Honestly, I just need people present, because people were just, we were the first people in our friend group to get a divorce. So, you know, that as well, it's fortunately, it wasn't normal. I hope no one joins my club. But if you have, I will love you and mm-hmm. be present for you. But, you know, I that trip changed my life, because I had a group of women around me that said, if this is the decision and the path that you feel is right and healthy for you, we will be present with you in it. Instead of having conditions, because I think that's what I experienced. I had a lot of people around me that were friends with me based on the conditions and the performance of who I am, instead of the performance and the conditions of what they want me to be and not who I am.
The ripple effects of divorce are many. Erin was flooded by the pain and confusion that comes when a relationship ends. And in our broken places and in these painful seasons, shame rushes in. Oh, it just loves to do that, doesn't it? It loves to tell us and make us feel like we are damaged goods, that in this place of shame, our very sense of self is challenged. We believe we are broken and unwanted and forever stuck in a dark place. The other thing that comes along in these seasons and when relationships and end in pain and is that we're also highly susceptible to letting the words of others add to our confusion of who we are, and our friendships are tested. And then all of a sudden, these trusted people start to judge and question. We feel insane. We feel confused. We feel upside down. We feel unsupported, and loneliness sinks in. Desperation sinks in. And now Erin was faced with one of the most important choices that we will ever make in our life. It is the choice of whose voice we will actually listen to. So what'd you learn about yourself?
I learned to trust myself more. Mm-hmm. Because that's all I could do. That and leaning more on my faith. What I learned in all of this, and I give anybody this advice that's going through a time in your life where you feel like you don't know who you are and you don't know who your friends are. Go back to the times in which you saw yourself flourish. So for me, I went back and met up with people that made me come alive when I was like younger, whether it was friends, old employees. I used to do music. And so I would met up with my old band, just like kind of getting back to the roots of who I was and what people, like the people around me that knew me for Erin, not this idea of who they want me to be. So doing that, I learned that I'm pretty cool. And that's awesome. You know, like, that's okay. I think my self-esteem was just so knocked down. And I was impressionable to every opinion in my life. And I think no matter how confident and how strong you can come across or seem or be in a season of life, I think you can still get knocked down and then still experience the confusion of that, maybe. For me, I did. I thought I was pretty confident, felt I was pretty strong, and I mean, at least strong-willed. but yeah, I think that I I think that I learned that I need to trust my gut more. Because there are more instances in the last few years that I wish I would have paid attention instead of letting someone else's comfort be at the expense of who I am.
Hmm. So one of the things you mentioned is just this idea of you're feeling confused, you're feeling down, you're doubting yourself, and yet you're trying to lead out on a message about so worth loving, right?
Yeah.
And sort of you felt conflicted around that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that and that conflict that was going on inside of you.
Yes. Oh, that was really hard because I am, you know, encouraging people to be vulnerable with their stories. And what I've loved about So Worth Loving is when people are vulnerable, they're actually vulnerable. It's not, you know, I went through a hard time and now I'm on the up. It's like my hard time looked like this and this is what happened. And that's what I've always valued and loved about the stories that I've been surrounded by and I've got to see. I've just respected that so much, that transparency. Mm. And so within my own world, you know, I guess kind of living a public life or, you know, he's got a public company as well and trying to maintain protecting that and going through, you know, the steps in which we needed to go through and intensives and therapy and then decision-making and, you know, choosing a divorce. And I felt like I was lying to my community because I wasn't honest. It wasn't that I wasn't honest. It was just, I think I was self-preservation almost maybe. And just allowing personal space. But that was conflicting because I'm promoting self-worth and vulnerability while I know what's truly going on behind closed doors. And I felt like that weird friction, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Even though I knew it was right and healthy for me to not exploit what I'm going through right now, but I just didn't feel genuine, I guess.
Did you feel, but just like currently, just the sense of kind of sting of the judgment and like what that, because you obviously have been just this force of good and positivity and non-judgment, right?
Yeah.
And to be so accepted and welcomed, like the, what did that feel like for you?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question, Mike. Oh, you know, I think I experienced a lot of judgment. And for a while, I was meeting up with people to share my side because they wanted to be entertained by the story. And so it was like I was on this hamster wheel of defending myself instead of just being at peace with myself.
So friends, I used to think the worst thing in life was to end up alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people who make you feel alone. I believe we can all relate with what Aaron was feeling, can't we? Those moments in our stories when we desperately needed our friends to be love, and instead they became lawyers, questioning us, interrogating us, cross-examining our every action or decision. And instead of feeling supported in this season, Erin felt like she needed to defend herself. These sort of responses of lawyering and questioning and interrogating and giving you the stink eye, all that stuff just adds to our darkness. What Erin actually needed is what we all need in these moments. Kindness, listening ear, someone to hold space for us. Probably most important, we need the reminder that we are going to be okay. What was the, for you, the words that stung the most?
Oof. I don't even know if it was words. I think it was more actions or lack of words.
Well, I did what do you wish people would have said to you?
I think I would have loved for if they were hearing different stories, gossip. I like to call it prayer gossip, where you're like, oh, have you heard? I'm so concerned.
Oh, man. And,
right? It's like prayer gossip. But it makes you feel good to talk about it because you're showing concern.
Yes.
But you haven't picked up the phone to call. To actually say, hey, how are you? So I think that I experienced that a lot. And I would have loved just, hey, I know it's really hard to get out of bed. I'm just going to come over and I already cooked dinner. You know, or even just asking questions. Like, I would rather people ask me questions because that shows that they care enough to want to understand the situation than to assume the situation.
Yeah.
That action was more hurtful. Maybe people just don't know how to ask questions. One thing that was hurtful, I do recall, got together with a girlfriend. We were having dinner and she said, you know, I just thought everything was okay. Like, that's why I didn't check in on you, because I would check in on Instagram. And that was like a moment in which I was thinking, this is the level of our friendship, you know, which is like painful to realize that. I didn't think that I was that type of friend to her. And so that was like so super, I was just like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, that's not the kind of friend you need in that time.
Not at all. Maybe if like, you know, work is hard, right? But not when your heart is like on the floor and you just need someone to like pick it up and help do some heart surgery with you.
So what was the... I mean, and so much of this is so fresh still. Like this is your current story that you're living out in the last year. What was the hardest day? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. So there were so many things that were happening. So Earth Loving moved fulfillment facilities. So we moved out of our office space. I'm so thankful for. So I'm not having to be in the logistics and the day-to-day of single folding and, you know, managing someone's single folding shirts and screen printing and picking them up and dropping them off. And so we moved fulfillment facilities. But because of that, you know, we had two really hard months because we didn't have inventory, but we had overhead still. So financially, it put me in a really hard rock where it made sense for me to end my lease early and to get back to the roots. And so I was packing up my office. I had a friend that passed away, and I was packing up 2,300 square feet of a memory that I thought I was going to be there for a while. And then my friend passes away, and then I see I don't see any of my, you know, what I thought was community calling me, asking me if they can help pack or be present or anything. And this was my second packing because I had packed my house up. Then I had packed my office. My office was the hardest thing for me to pack. And I'm exhausted. I'm drained financially, emotionally. I end the office at 11:30 at night. I have no gas in my car. I'm on my way to stay at a girlfriend's house. I didn't have a place to live in the city because I moved to the country. And so I'm on my way, which already is, when you go through stuff like this, you just want your home. You want your towels, you want your shower, you want your bed, you want your pillows. You just want that kind of comfort.
Yeah, home.
But my friend Tiffany is just the most amazing person. And she was a friend that said, I will sit with you. I will pack with you. I'll be present for you. So she was somebody that was just my rock. But on my way there to her house, she had been working all day, and I run out of gas. on the side of the road. And I had never done that. And my dad has always taught me, I'm 4'11", I'm blonde, I'm cute. Don't ever at 12 o'clock at night run out of gas. You should always have a full tank. And it was like not on my radar. And in that same day, I had gotten a ticket because this officer told me I yielded at a stop sign, which you could argue what a yield is because you sometimes have to stop when you yield. I totally stopped. And so it was just like all of these things at once. And I ran out of gas and I call my friend Tiffany. It's like 12:30 and she's like, so tired voice. I'm like, hey. She's like, hey. And I was like, what are you up to? She's like, oh, I'm just fixing to go to bed. What's going on? And I'm like, no pressure. Would you be okay coming to get me? I ran out of gas. And she was like, absolutely. Where are you? And I sent her a pin. I already Venmoed her money. I was like, I'm inconveniencing her. Like, and she comes, she picks me up. We go to 6 gas stations because they're all closed. I roll into this one. I'm so tired by this point. Exceeded my tiredness and my emotional any capacity for anything. And I go and I buy, this is just funny. I go and I buy a small gas container. I drive a Fiat. So I'm thinking I have a small tank. I'll buy the small container. I've never done this before, clearly. I buy a gallon tank. I still have like a big tank in my car, but you can just tell I was just absent in my brain. So I go to the counter and I go, will you put $20? And I'm putting $20 on a gallon. I go to fill it up and I get completely harassed by these guys that want to put me in their car. And I'm all frazzled and I got to go back in there and get $16 refunded. And she's just there. Like, she's just so peaceful. And I go inside, fill up the tiny container. I go in, I get my $16. But right before I go in, when these guys are saying these things to me, I'm just trying to be tunnel vision and like, nope, I'm okay. Leave me alone. You know, like go in there. My phone flies out of my hand and it just shatters everywhere. And she's standing in line with me. She looks over at me. She knows it's been a day. I mean, it's been like all these things back to back. And she just looks at me in the line and she just goes, Erin, you're doing a really good job.
Erin, you're doing a really good job. These are the simple words that her hurting heart needed to hear. And this is what real friends do. They bring us back to the truth. I often stand in awe of what human beings can endure and overcome. Their warrior spirit and resiliency to walk through the flames, sometimes over and over and over again, and yet so often we feel like a horrible failure in our lives, that we're not doing it right or fast enough, or we're a screw up because we feel like we're not making progress. So let me remind you, my friend, listen really closely right now, especially if you're in a horrible season and you're just trying to hang on and you're barely getting out of bed in the morning because the weight of the struggle is just crushing you. Let me remind you, it may be really, really hard right now, and you may feel like a disaster, but you need to know you're doing a really good job. So don't be so hard on yourself.
You know, it's only been less than a year that I really allowed myself to be okay with moving forward. But the first half of the year was a lot of shame. So now I feel like I'm tending to things that I didn't take care of this last year now, because I have more strength.
How did you break through the shame? You seemed like there was maybe a possible turning point for you.
Yeah, you know, it was letting go of friends that I needed to let go of, honestly, because they weren't helping to the voices I was hearing.
Which were?
Just, you know, that I'm less of a person, I'm not a good person if I do this or that, or I'm not a woman of God if I choose divorce, or, you know, I had things that were said to me that made no sense, that, like, and I wish I could share some of it, but I feel like some of it I can't for the respect of, you know, the other person. That was things that were said to me and how I should handle things.
Did you believe them?
Just was mad. I felt dirty that someone would even say something like that to me. You know, like, I just was kind of like, gross. No, would you ever tell your daughters that? You know, like, would you ever encourage that? I'm thinking of one in particular instance that happened, that I was just like, that is not a friend does not say that to somebody. I had to be okay with pruning friends. That is the one thing that made me feel okay to move forward, was me going, I needed to prune some people in my life. And when I did that, there was a sense of freedom and peace in me. And I had to look around me and realize I'm surrounded by incredible people and mentors and a solid group of friends. I thought my circle had to be really big, and it needed to be very, very small for this. And I was maintaining a very big circle. And no one would give that advice to anybody going through what I went through or you know, a hard time. And for me, I think letting go of the big circle and saying, these are my safe people. There's four people here. I'm going to ask them to hold me accountable. I'm going to ask them to, you know, and I say mornings are hard and evenings are hard. They're going to be the ones that text me in the morning and text me at night. They're going to be the same people that I love so dearly that I want to tend to that relationship and be present for them too. I can't do that if my circle is so big.
Who are you today?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I'm Erin Eddy now. I believe I'm Erin that is accepting her truth and finding ways to be at peace with it without worrying what other people think.
And what is your truth?
That I'm a good person. Ugh. And that this year isn't going to define me as much as I let it. Because while I let other people define me, I also did it to myself too. And I was just really hard on myself. And no, I think that's it. I think I'm a good person that wants good for other people. And I just experienced a lot of bad, so it's probably why it was so hard to experience that.
Thanks, Erin, for being you. If you want to connect with my friend Erin and the work that she is doing, the incredible work that she's doing, of reminding people that they are valuable and important, I want to encourage you to go to her website at soworthloving.com. Soworthloving.com. Connect with Erin. It'll probably be the best thing you do this week. Head on over to her website and see what she's up to. She's just this force of nature and good, and she's wonderful, and I just love everything that she's about. If you want to connect with Yours truly. I'm on Instagram, MikeFoster2000. I say it every episode. We're having a good time over on Instagram. And I love connecting with you, hearing your stories. MikeFoster2000. Also have a website at MikeFoster.tv, which I don't really particularly like that website domain, .tv, but that was all that they had left. MikeFoster.com was taken, MikeFoster.net, .org, .biz, all of them were taken. So I went with .tv. I kind of regret it now because I'm not on TV. I'm on a podcast, okay? But we'll deal with it. Also, you can connect with me over at secondchance.org. Make sure to share the podcast with others, rate it, review it, subscribe. Also, don't forget about the Rescue Academy workshop that I'm doing. It's close to selling out, so make sure to register now if you want to go. We have limited space, and we don't do them all the time. If you want to go, you want to spend 2 days in San Diego, let's do this thing, rescueacademy.com. I want to thank Sleeping at Last for the beautiful music. I want to thank the folks over at the Relevant Podcast Network, wonderful partners. I love those guys. They really are fun to work with and a great team. relevantmagazine.com/podcasts. And finally, it's kind of becoming a thing here on Fun Therapy and kind of a known fact that my guests cry often on this podcast. And I'm not sure why that's happening. There's no strategy to that. It's just happening. And I do love it. I love tears. I think they're important. But so as Erin was about, you know, had gone through our entire session, she was, you know, we're kind of wrapping up and with no tears until the very, very end. And as we're getting ready to leave, she said this really funny thing.
I was like, oh, they're coming.
All right, friends. I'm Mike Foster. We'll see you next time on the Fun Therapy Podcast.
Relevant Podcast Network.